This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
You don't want to be around when the fire comes down. When the fire comes down, everything else pales into insignificance. And today on Viewpoint, we're going to talk about that as we are all having our attention gripped, grabbed, and many in despair over the massive fires exploding across Southern California. Indeed, I'm very familiar with this story, having lived there for 30 years. In fact, in 1994, just before I relocated to Richmond, Virginia, my family already having been relocated to Richmond, Virginia, and I was wrapping up my law practice in Southern California, there in Altadena and Pasadena, the fire came down. In fact, Southern California was surrounded with fires in 1994, such that we had to evacuate our home, and our church came by with water trucks to spray our roof because the cinders were descending upon our home in Altadena, California. Yes, I'm familiar with fires in California. Also familiar with earthquakes in California. But what is happening now is perhaps 100 times greater than what happened then. In 1994, fires surrounded all of Southern California, not just in Los Angeles County. They were in Altadena, California, above our home. They were also in Flint Ridge, California, out where the movies were being made, in fact, the pornographic movies. They were in Laguna Beach, also one of the homosexual bastions of Southern California. In fact, every single specific homosexual bastion of Southern California had fires at the same time in 1994. Apparently, we didn't get the message. So how about these fires? Do these fires have any significance? Well, I'm not here to tell you what their significance is. Believe it or not, you may think that's where we're headed, but no, I'm not here to tell you what their significance is. But we do want to talk about the significance of fire, because it does have significance. It has biblical significance because over 500 times the word fire is mentioned in the Bible. Over 500 times. And many of those times are extremely significant. When the fire fell, when God destroyed with fire. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah, fire and brimstone? You remember that? But there are many other instances that we often forget. As we think about fire, it's very easy for us to forget the significance of fire. I mean, the real significance of fire, the danger of fire, how fire actually has been used by God in both positive and negative ways. And we're going to take a look at all of that here today on Viewpoint. I'm glad that you've joined us. It's conversation with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. And you're going to hear a lot of information here on the program today that you will never be able to hear on the news. Why? Well, because they all have their particular ways of looking at things, as we all do. And you're going to hear some insider views today here on Viewpoint that you won't be able to hear on the news media. For instance, let me ask you a question. Why do you think the news media all over the country is consumed with the Palisades, the fire in the Palisades? The fire in the Palisades, as far as I understand now, has consumed about 5,000 acres. Did you know that the fire in Altadena, California, has consumed over 10,000 acres? And the only two recorded deaths so far from the fires are in Altadena, California. Why is it we don't hear anything about that? May I suggest to you, it's because, well, people want to look at where they think the homes of the high and the mighty are. Movie stars. And so they go to the Palisades. Or they go to Brentwood. Maybe, who knows, maybe Beverly Hills will ultimately be consumed. But they always go for those folk. But there are a lot of other folk out there that are equally of concern, in fact, have even greater histories than the Palisades. So we have to understand why these things are being focused on. You see, the news always has an angle. Think about it. The news always has an angle. Why do they focus on what they focus on and not focus on other things? Well, they have an angle. And so today on Viewpoint, we're recognizing that angle, but we're going to provide a different view, a bigger view, an overview of what's taking place there in California. And it may be of some considerable interest to you, or maybe not interest at all. My wife and I lived in Altadena, California for almost 30 years. Actually, we lived in Pasadena, California first, and then moved to Altadena, California in about 1977. We lived in a home that we remodeled just very close to the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in northwestern Altadena. And we lived there for 7 years. The home became too small for us and our growing family, and so we relocated to another home that was twice as large in the central part of Altadena, above Pasadena. Altadena means above Pasadena. That's what it means, Altadena, above Pasadena. And so we moved to this other home. It was a third of an acre and 2,850 square feet. 2,850 square feet, a third of an acre. On that two-block street were homes of people, including significant architects, a major contractor, and perhaps the most famous chiropractor in the world on that two-block street, along with various other much lesser homes and personalities and so on. But what about this community called Altadena? Does it have any history that's worth considering? Well, it's in Los Angeles County, right up to the foothills of the San Gabriel Mountains, bounded on three sides by wilderness, the Arroyo Seco, Angeles National Forest, and Eaton Canyon. Eaton Canyon, yes, that's what this new big fire is called, the second great fire there in Southern California right now. Altadena has celebrated about 140 years of its existence, and it is separate from Los Angeles County in that it doesn't have an actual, it's not an actual city, but it is in Los Angeles County. And America's roots actually date to the period immediately following statehood. Altadena's American roots date to the period following America's statehood, when settlers began to tap water sources in Eaton Canyon.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Our God is a consuming fire, the scripture says, right there in the book of Hebrews. Our God is a consuming fire, so we ought to take heed. He's not to be messed with. In the same way, friends, maybe we ought to be careful. Don't play with fire. But we have no indication that these fires were started by people that were playing with fire or even that were intentionally trying to set fires. We don't know. But we do know that these fires in Southern California that have occurred in the last 2 days have devoured everything in their path. Devouring fire. Fire devours. Fire can also heat us and provide energy, and it can purify, but it also devours. And we have to have fire under control. But when fire is not under our control, there's nothing we can do. Very little that we can do. Even the firefighters can't do anything about it because of the gusty winds ranging from 50 to some estimates up to 80 miles per hour with the Santa Ana winds surging through Southern California. Those are great winds, by the way. I'll never forget. A massive, massive tree blown down across our property by a Santa Ana wind that completely changed everything on our property. But today we're taking a look at some specific, some interesting factors perhaps with regard to the areas in which these fires are occurring. Right now we're looking at Altadena, above Pasadena, and Altadena's American roots date to the period immediately following California statehood when settlers began tapping water sources in its canyons. And one of those was a fellow by the name of Benjamin Eaton, who began developing water systems, and he purchased 14,000 acres in a particular area, eventually developed into Pasadena, South Pasadena, Altadena, and parts of other adjacent communities. He was a successful grower of grapes, and Altadena became known for its grape vineyards. Believe it or not, became known for its grape vineyards. And so Altadena became not only known for its grape vineyards, but also eventually it was seen as a place to develop a getaway for people who had some resources throughout the country, for the Midwest and so on. And so a particular street, Altadena Drive, running east and west across Altadena from Eaton Canyon all the way over to the JPL laboratories, began to be inhabited. Very large homes, stately homes, were built there by people who had resources, and it became known as a place to be. It was almost like the Beverly Hills, to a certain extent, of the San Gabriel Valley. Altadena Drive. And you would drive along Altadena Drive, and you would be moderately impressed, not like driving in Beverly Hills, but certainly modestly impressed. And so it's not just a place of, a few sticks and so on, and nondescript places. No, it was a very thriving place. Altadena, California. Pasadena, California, the place of the Rose Bowl. And by the way, the area of the Rose Bowl has now been restricted because of the fire. Can't go there. And yet people just celebrated there. Maybe 100,000, maybe 80,000 people in the Rose Bowl. Can't go there now. Fire took over. The Rose Parade was just there in Pasadena, California. We watched it all. Beautiful weather. All of a sudden, just a few days later, can't go there. Fire takes over. And the Bible portrays fire as taking over in a number of different ways. By the way, since we have just had and celebrated a period called Christmas, it might be of some interest to you to know that the most famous Christmas tree lane in the world has been an attraction in Altadena, California since 1920. The oldest large-scale outdoor Christmas lighting venue in the world. In fact, so much so that Christmas Tree Lane in Altadena has been on the National Registry of Historic Places since 1990. Interesting, isn't it? Well, You may not find those things interesting, but certainly having lived there, we do. One of my daughters has made contact with a number of people that lived on our street from which we moved in 1992. In 1993, we moved from Rubio Street in 1993. Well, Rubio is a two-block street, as I've indicated. It's the street where we raised our daughters. It's the street where we conducted ministry for 10 years in Southern California as I was practicing law, where we introduced the practice of hospitality, even in our own neighborhood. It's a very interesting street. However, all the homes on that street we have just discovered have been burned to a crisp. All of them. In fact, the home where we first lived in Altadena, California, has also met its demise to this fire. We don't want to play with fire. Believe it or not, and it may seem a little strange, but when we left that home in Southern California, we sold it for $550,000 in 1993. Before the fire, it was worth $2.5 million, and now it's worth nothing. You see what fire does? Fire has a way of just completely changing everything. It has a way of changing our viewpoint on life. Now, two people are dead in Altadena, California. No other recorded deaths so far among the fires in Southern California. More than 1,000 homes and businesses and other buildings have already been destroyed. And more every day, every hour, it's moving rapidly. Areas of Pasadena, Altadena, La Cañada, Flint Ridge, another somewhat highfalutin area, Duarte, Monrovia, Sierra Madre, Arcadia, La Crescenta are all under evacuation orders all along the San Gabriel Mountains in the San Gabriel Valley. And interestingly, I walked the streets of many of those cities door by door, walking 1,000 miles door to door in those cities running for the state legislature in 1976 and 1978. You think I might have some connection, some understanding of those areas? Indeed. I know their downsittings and their uprisings. I know their characteristics. But fire doesn't care. Fire doesn't care where you're a millionaire, a billionaire, or a pauper. It consumes everything in its wake. Fire. When fire explodes, it explodes. And it consumes everything. So here today, in the balance of our program, perhaps it would be well for us to consider, from God's perspective, this matter of fire. By the way, before we do, let me take you to the Palisades. Yes, I have some experience there in the Palisades. I'm not talking about the Palisade Mountains in the Sierra Nevada. I have climbed those as well, 14,000-foot peaks. They're called the Palisades. But we're talking about Pacific Palisades. Pacific Palisades there along southwestern Los Angeles County, right there along the coast. What stands out to me significantly about that area is that in 1969, when I was teaching school in Southern California, we become mandated by the California Teachers Association to be re-educated as to how we were supposed to talk to students. It was called the Encounter Movement. Maybe you've heard of it, the Encounter Movement. Here's what it was. If you were going to relate to people, if you were going to talk to people, teach people, and so on, you had to now look at them very differently than in the past. You could no longer speak to them in terms of truth or in terms of facts or so on. You had to speak to them in terms of feelings. So we were mandated to take our time off on a weekend, on a Saturday, to go to Pacific Palisades. For what reason? To be re-educated as to how to talk. To how to talk to our students, to how to talk to anybody. And it consisted of learning to say, I feel, I feel, I feel. You could not speak in terms of what you believe. That was deemed to be offensive. I believe? No. I feel. You could not say something was a fact. You said, I feel. Everything had to be transferred into feelings. May I suggest to you that that was the beginning of a massive change. It was almost like fire sweeping through not only California, but the whole country, that changed the communications of our country. It was like fire sweeping, wildfire sweeping through the whole country, the whole educational system, and yes, even the church. By the early 1970s, the fire of feelings, the lordship of feelings, had swept out of the educational system into the entire society, including the church. It developed into the church growth movement in the early 1970s. Guess where? In Pasadena, California. Starting with Fuller Seminary. Right there, Pasadena, California. A guy that I went to sixth grade with became the provost of Fuller Seminary. My law office was right across the street from the Large Lake Avenue Congregational Church that had many of the professors, the leading professors for the church growth movement, right there in that church right across from my law office. You think I might have some understanding of what has gone on in our country over the past 60 years? Indeed. So this feeling thing took over. Throughout the 1970s, and into the 1980s, the church growth movement took over. Instead of teaching people what God had said with authority, we had to say, I feel. Everything was about our feelings. Our songs became to be all about our feelings, not about truth, but about our feelings. So feelings gradually became Lord, and the Lord of the church gradually became our mascot rather than our master. But it didn't stop there. The fire kept spreading and deepening. It took the form of the seeker-sensitive movement. The seeker-sensitive movement was the outgrowth of the initial flaming, exploding fire of the church growth movement. It was out of the church growth movement that the founder of the Crystal Cathedral launched. He was one of the initial founders of the church growth movement. And he wrote a book that said, it's an abomination. It's abuse to tell people that they're sinners. No, we shouldn't tell people that they're sinners. We should just build more self-esteem. That's what they really need. They need more self-esteem. They don't need to be told they're sinners. They don't need to repent from sin. They just need more self-esteem. So we wrote a whole book on that. And what it did, it spread through the entire church, the whole doctrine of feelings, the lordship of feelings, sold like wildfire. And that's what he became known, Dr. Robert Schuller. It was like a fire that spread through, not a fire of truth, a fire of unrighteousness that defied the truth. And we're feeling the effects of it even to this day, not only in America, but all over the world. Don't play with fire, my friends, in whatever form it comes. We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismier and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived, Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismier. Today, we're focusing on fire. In fact, there are many positive things about fire. As we know, without fire, we wouldn't be able to cook our meat. We wouldn't be able to cook. We wouldn't have heat in our homes. And those are great things. On the other hand, as we are seeing, it can be extremely destructive. And when out of control, it's out of control. And when we allow fire or things akin to fire that function like fire in our lives, and they're not under control, it's a very, very dangerous and explosive situation. Whether it's in the Palisades, Pacific Palisades, whether it's in Eaton Canyon, Altadena, California, Pasadena, California, Arcadia, where Dr. James Dobson founded Focus on the Family. That's right, Arcadia, California. His first office there. And then the second office built by a dear friend of mine from Altadena, California, in Monrovia, California. You see, much of this broadcaster's life was engaged in that entire sphere. So when I read the news or I see the lack of news concerning certain areas, I wonder, what is it that these people are thinking? They don't have a clue about what they're talking about. Their focus is just too limited. And oftentimes, friends, believe it or not, our focus as Christians is way too limited when we think about the kingdom of God and his word. Way too limited. And that's the thing that gets us in trouble. Our focus is too limited, just like the news media's focus is too limited. We don't see the bigger picture. In fact, we often don't even want to see the bigger picture. We're so fascinated with other things that are extraneous that we miss some of the most important things that God would have to say to us. And that is true with the issue of fire. So, you may recall, in fact, why don't you just take a moment with me and try to think right now of some major events in the Bible that were associated with fire, other than Sodom and Gomorrah, associated with fire. Well, if we were to go back to the book of Exodus, we would find Moses before a burning bush. Remember that? Burning bush? The burning bush. And God spoke to him and said, take off your shoes. The place whereon you stand is holy ground. And God called him there to do his bidding through fire. And then God led the children of Israel out of Egypt through the pillar of fire. Remember that? The pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. And then after the tabernacle was built there in the wilderness, God hovered over the Holy of Holies by fire. Over the Holy of Holies. The same thing happened when Solomon built the first temple, and it was dedicated, and the Holy Spirit was in there as if by fire. Then also, the children of Israel were there in the wilderness, and God met them at a place called Sinai, Mount Sinai. And he told them, he said, look, I'm going to meet you here, and it's going to be a very serious situation. So I want you to take 3 days, and I want you to prepare yourself for those 3 days to cleanse yourself. I don't want any impurity coming before my presence, because I'm going to manifest my presence on Mount Sinai. So he said, don't come at your wives for 3 days. You're to wash your clothes. You're to come clean before God for 3 days and meet me at the foot of Mount Sinai. So we know the story about how Moses ascended up to Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments, and God appeared on Mount Sinai. And how did he appear? Well, he appeared in a great dark cloud. And then there was fire on the mount. It was a frightening situation. Fire on the mount. God appeared in a massive flame of fire on Mount Sinai. And then that was followed by the trumpet. Remember that? The trumpet shall sound. Yes, indeed it sounded. It sounded a little bit, and then more, and then more, and more, so much so that the entire mountain shook like an earthquake by the presence of God through fire and the trumpet. Do you know that the Bible says that's going to happen all over again? Deja vu all over again? If you read the book of Hebrews chapter 12, you find out, for our God is a consuming fire. He once came up on Sinai, but now the entire world is going to shake. And it's going to be a very different picture. And you see, some fires are big and devastating. Other fires, by comparison, bear no comparison. They are just monstrous. And that's what's happened in Southern California now. Some earthquakes are devastating. Others are just massively destructive. I've seen both in California. There's a sense almost in which California is like a litmus paper test for the country. Not only does a lot of liberal stuff come out of California, and a lot of ungodly ideas come out of California, and a lot of distortion and perversion of the Bible and its truth come out of California, but can God use all of those things in the context of a nation, of a state that's almost like a nation with nearly 40 million people? It would be one of the, as I recall, it would be the sixth largest nation in the world by itself, not only because of its size and population, but also because of its financial status. But what does this fire do with that? How will this fire affect all of that? Will it even put the insurance companies out of business? It's almost like a hurricane on steroids. So what is fire from God's viewpoint? Well, if you remember John the Baptist, he was there on the River Jordan, baptizing and preparing the way of the Lord. That was his calling, to prepare the way of the Lord, to make straight paths, call the people to make straight paths for their feet. Every mountain shall be made low, every valley shall be exalted, so that the King of Kings can come through without having to be concerned about any of those things. So he was preaching repentance, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then he saw Jesus, Yeshua, coming, his cousin, coming to him to be baptized. And he made this statement, I baptize you with water unto repentance, but there is one coming after me who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Whatever happened to the fire of the Holy Spirit in the church today? I mean, really, not something we conjure up emotionally, but a real fire that burns in our bones. Jeremiah talked about how the word of God was like a fire in his bones, and he couldn't restrain himself from speaking it, even though in the flesh he didn't want to, because he knew what the consequences would be, but he still, the word of the Lord was like a fire burning in his bones. What does that mean? So here's a question that I have for you. Does the word of God burn like a fire in your bones? Is there something about the word of God that sets you on fire in a good way, a holy way, a consuming fire? We used to sing a song about consuming fire, my desire, and so on. Really? Is that really what we really believe? I'm not sure that it is. Because if it were, we would look at the word of God and the kingdom of God and God himself in a very different light. If we were to look at fire in the word of God, what we really find is it's used as a symbol of God's anger, his judgment, and destruction. But it also represents his presence, his power, and his glory. So we have two sides of the same fire symbol or image from the Bible, from God's viewpoint. God's presence, his power, and his glory. On the other hand, his anger, his judgment, and destruction. So if we don't manifest his presence, his power, and his glory, what we're going to end up with is his anger, his judgment, and destruction. And that's exactly what the entire history of God's dealing with Israel is all about in the Old Testament. The reason why so many people, Christians, don't want to read the Old Testament, and the pastors don't want to preach from it, or avoid those passages that deal with God's anger, judgment, and destruction, is they want to market the story. They don't want to tell the whole story. They just want to lead people to believe, oh, God's presence, his power, and his glory. That's wonderful. But in order to preserve and keep that, we need to live according to his word, his will, and his ways. And when we don't, his anger, judgment, and destruction then become manifest. We'll be back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Christmeyer. We're looking today, playing off of these massive fires that are sweeping through Southern California and devouring everything, led on by horrific winds called the Santa Ana winds. Actually, they call them Santa Ana winds, but they're actually called Santana winds. In any event, that is neither here nor there. But we're talking about the role of fire, both good and bad, both holy and unholy. We know from the scriptures that God is going to consume the earth with fire. The Apostle Peter tells us that the earth will melt with fervent heat. Now, that's not global warming the way it's talked about. That's God's direct intervention in the world to melt the earth with fervent heat so that it can be reformed. You see, fire allows things to be remodeled, reformed. So the Bible talks about that we should be, that our lives should be purged like silver and gold in the fire. In other words, to get rid of all the impurities, that our lives should be purged with silver and gold as in a fire. In fact, I believe it was the Apostle James, Jesus' brother, who talked about that. We should be patient. We should count it all joy when we fall into many trials and temptations, knowing that the trial of our faith is working patience, and patience, hope, and so on. And then he says beyond that, that this is working the eternal, lasting hope of glory as we're purged of the impurities in our life as by fire. Do we even want that? Are we willing to allow that to happen in our lives? One of my daughters called up today and said, "Dad, this is just having a tremendous weight upon me as I remember the places where I grew up and the friends and the families and so on." She says, believe it or not, she said, "Dad, I'm very concerned that perhaps through these fires, so many will be drawn to humble themselves before the Lord, to walk in righteousness and salvation." That was her concern. Not just that the houses were being destroyed, but that the people's lives. She was concerned about the people's lives. Are you concerned about the people's lives? Do you know what the prophet or the apostle Jude, or whoever you want to call him, prophet, apostle, whatever, he said in his one chapter book that we should love people enough to, as it were, pull them with a kind of violence out of the very fire. Pull them right out of the very fire. Friends, our country, our people are living as it is in a fire of unrighteousness that is consuming the country. And it's being celebrated when the President of the United States celebrates those who are the worst offenders and most unrighteous offenders and gives them the highest awards of the country, such as George Soros, Hillary Clinton, and so on. People who have thumbed their nose at righteousness, who have dealt massively unrighteously as if they were a Jezebel in American clothes, and they're celebrated. The fire of unrighteousness is burning our country down. And it's not fundamentally political, it's fundamentally spiritual. And then we sing songs like "Revive Us Again," "Revival Fire," "Purify My Heart by Fire," and so on. Do we really want that? We should, but the question is, do we? You would never know it looking at our country today. You would never know it looking at the depending on who you talk to, somewhere around 20, 30 million evangelicals, so-called Bible-believing Christians that don't read the Bible and don't obey it. And we want a consuming fire, my heart's high desire, as the song says. You got to be kidding me. We're lying through our teeth. It's all emotional. So God gives us an illustration. Maybe that's what this is. Maybe that's what all this fire here in Southern California is. It's like a parable. The parable of the fires. Some people might say, well, you know, I don't like that. That's not very compassionate. Oh, it's the most compassionate thing we could say from God's viewpoint. God's far more compassionate about the eternal destiny of people than he is about the destiny of their houses. I'm concerned about people's houses. I'm concerned about people's businesses. Of course I am. I live in one. But overarching, if we're truly compassionate, we're going to be compassionate about eternal things even more importantly. Not exclusively, but more importantly, right? So it brings us to perspective. Situations like this, like a parable, can bring us to perspective, draw us closer to the fire of God's Holy Spirit. That's what we really need. Consuming fire, my heart's great desire, like the song says. Really? Now, I want to share a couple of things with you going back to Mount Sinai. On Mount Sinai, God told the people, chosen people, he called the apple of his eye, he told them to clean up their ways, clean up their act, and purify themselves for 3 days. Because he's going to come down on Mount Sinai, and you aren't going to be able to handle a pure and holy God if you're not ready. So they did. And interestingly, the Bible says, again, in the book of Hosea, chapter 6, God says to the people for the future, look, I'm coming again, and after 2 days, I'm going to raise you up, and the third day, you will be raised in my sight. Oh, how's that going to happen? We're going to have to be pure and holy. He gives us 2 days to get pure and holy. 2 days since Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. That's 2,000 years. Jesus died and rose again about 30 A.D. 2,000 years from then would be 2030 A.D., right? 5 years from now. So what God would be saying to us by implication is, look, you have had almost 2,000 years to get your act in order, 2 days. Now, the third day is supposed to come to me, before me, in purity and holiness, because I'm coming to meet you. He's coming again. You might want to get a copy of my book, Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages, because one of the key chapters in that book is called The Third Day. I believe the book is worth the whole price for that one chapter. The third day. It'll grab you. $25 will put that book in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA. You can write to us at Save America Ministries at $6 for postage and handling. And also, I want to mention something else, and you may not have thought about it this way, but as we were chatting here together, the Holy Spirit whispered in my ear and said, son, didn't you write a book called When Persecution Comes? Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times? Have you looked at the front cover of your book? Oh, yes. The fire. Oh, persecution is like a fire, my friends. That's why God warns us to prepare for it. Because if you're not prepared for it, you will be spiritually consumed by it. And God doesn't want us to be spiritually consumed by persecution. He wants us to be prepared for it, to be able to stand in that evil day, having done all to stand, But we're not ready. So we have to have our hearts prepared. We have to prepare our children. If you were to have a fire come through, sweeping through, like what happened in Southern California, would you be prepared? Would you be prepared to take your kids out? What would you do? That kind of a fire, a spiritual fire called persecution, is raging, my friends. It's coming first against the Jews in the form of anti-Semitism, and it's increasingly in the face of Christians, not only around the world, but in America. Yes, in Canada, in America, it's everywhere. So we need to be ready. We need to be ready against the third day, and also we need to be ready because Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Why do you think you should be different than your Lord? They're going to hurl spiritual napalm bombs at you. I'm not talking about real fire. I said spiritual napalm bombs, like they did in Vietnam. In other words, to try to destroy you, your family, your congregation, your faith. They're going to try to get you to deny the Lord under penalty of false fire. And Jesus said, if you will not confess me before men, neither will I confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. That's why this is so important. So, I want to urge you to seriously consider getting a copy of the book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times, because it's like a fire that is coming to devour Christians. That's what it's about. Satan wants to devour Christians. He wants to destroy. He's not trying to heat you up to follow the Lord. He's not trying to bring glory to God through fire. He's trying to destroy you. And that's why they're called perilous times. When persecution comes, preparing hearts for perilous times. $25. We'll put the book in your hands. Just give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA. Go to the website, saveus.org. By the way, I misspoke concerning the book Messiah. And you can get the book Messiah, even though it's a $22 book, you can get that for $18. $18, Messiah. But When Persecution Comes, $25. On the website, saveus.org, give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. Now, if you get both books, it's going to cost you $8 for postage and handling total. $6 for the first book, $2 for the second. Don't play with fire, friends. Don't play with fire. Remember, our God is a consuming fire. You want to find out where that is? Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Fire. It purifies. It warms our hearts. The fire of the Holy Spirit. But the fire of the evil one is there to destroy. Thanks for joining us. Pray for those that are suffering out there in Southern California. It's a terrible thing. But let's be even more concerned about those who are being devoured by the fire of the evil one. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.